I think I'd like to answer
that with add on to that with verses from chapter 2 that man is to be the steward of the nature that God has created. I think that's a good word, though we don't have the word here. God made a garden in chapter 2, verse 8. He put the man there on purpose. He put the man in this garden. Not only did he provide for man, but he intended man to be in charge there. Verse 15, he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And this is before the fall. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he needed to tend it and keep it to keep down the weeds and get rid of the thorns and things like that. That hadn't happened yet. But yet still, mankind was to be in charge. And we read the verses also that although it's really a prelude to the family and marriage, which we're going to move on to, as preparation for that, God brought all the animals to Adam, and he named them. I think that's part of subduing and having dominion too, that he took charge. Mm-hmm. He was responsible in a with some measure of authority. He was in charge of the creation that God had made. And God gave him that authority and that dominion, and he was to, could we say, he was to step up to that challenge and not shirk that responsibility. And so we should care for nature. We should, can I say, don't litter. Right? And let's, don't make a mess of the creation that God made. Let's be responsible people, as believers should be the people who care the most about our environment, without going so far that we imagine that we are simply equal to our environment and that it has authority over us. I'd like to move us on. I'm sure there are some more comments, but because we need to pause soon, let's read now Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. And consider next the origins of marriage and family, which obviously grow out of these verses that we have read. God had already said in verse 18, it is not good that man, this in this case the male, this is only Adam who is alive so far at this point, which we would assume is still day six of creation. Mm-hmm. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Sometimes we see that word, that those two words put together, a helpmeet. Really, we should think about a helper, a companion, someone who is comparable, who is suited. The word meet is an old English word that means they were suited for Adam. And so now could somebody read verses 21 through 25 of Genesis 2?
The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Thank you. So as we conclude this study, we want to spend time talking about marriage and family. And we want to ask ourselves this question, what does it mean that God designed marriage and family? And again, how is this attacked by the thinking today? I want to just indicate or point out that God is answering, providing for Adam what he needs. Sam was saying to me earlier, you know, it makes it clear that man is no good on his own. Women could probably do a lot better on their own than men. But men definitely need often a helper comparable to them. There's many things that could be said, but we won't go there. I would wear a mismatched shirt many days if I'm sure, or a tie that doesn't match. But we can notice that there's special design by creating woman for man, by creating Eve for Adam. It's different from the formation of Adam. And also that family is already presupposed in the way that God speaks about this this concept of marriage. Because it says in verse 24 that in future generations, what God said was to happen is that a man is going to have a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. What does this mean to Adam? He doesn't have a father or a mother. But it was going to be that there would be families. Mm-hmm. So not only does God design marriage, but he designs it in a way presupposing the existence of family, father and mother, a boy is going to grow up in a home, in a family, and at the same time, a girl is going to grow up in a family, and then the man is going to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And they would initiate a new family unit. So God has designed marriage and family in these very special, particular ways, with such loving care to meet the needs that were necessary. It's interesting that God knew that Adam had no one helping him, but he made Adam realize it too by bringing all the animals past him. And then Adam said, yeah, I don't have a helper like me, in verse 20, at the end of verse 20. So Adam lined up his thoughts with God's thought, what God knew already. He put Adam in a position where Adam realized it himself, and then God provided. What else can we say about this? We only have a few moments.
We can say quickly that God knew what was the best way to for the humanity to continue, mm-hmm. family cell, mm-hmm. which is very important, and a family where Satan attacked very soon, like Cain killed his brother. Mm-hmm. It started there. The other thing we can say, it's attacked with divorce today, and it's really in relation with evolution also. I mean, if you can behave like an animal, you'll do like animals. You go with someone, then break up, and someone else, and break up, and so on and so on. So it's an attack of the enemy.
It's a pity that Tim can't be here, but it was Tim's burden. I'll tell you this, Tim was burdened, or is burdened, by the fact that he says, and correct me if I'm wrong, 60% of marriages today in the world end in divorce. And he said 60% of Christian marriages also end in divorce. There's no difference between the rate of divorces in the world versus the Christian community. That's what Tim said, and he's truly burdened by it. And he obviously, as a laboring brother, travels a lot, sees a lot, knows a lot. And that's a very, very serious consideration. Any comment?
Also, just the picture that we have already of Christ and His church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christ died in order for the bride to be brought forth. There was no bride until Christ died. So here we have Adam dying. Then when he arose out of his deep sleep, his bride was there.
And that special fact from the scriptures is likely a particular reason why this is attacked, as if this really were a satanic attack itself. An attack on marriage is an attack on the picture that God has presented to the world of Christ and His church. And so if Satan can mar marriage, then he has marred the presentation by Christians in particular of Christ and His church. He will not, of course, mar that real relationship, but it just demonstrates the clear and strong and insistent nature of the attacks on marriage and the family, because it's something God has designed, and it especially has to do with Christ. And so it will be a special focus of attack for that reason as well.